I'm Will Hedrick.
And I'm Jordan Schaffer.
And this is Dog Years and Timestamps, a book club podcast.
Well, what'd you think? Second book. Favorite author.
Favorite author. It is good. I'm enjoying it a lot. We are, of course, talking about The Ones We Were Meant to Find by Joan Huh, an author that we have read works of before, or rather just her first release, her debut release.
Her debut young adult fiction. I just read that in this book. I was reading about her.
What does it have to say about her?
Pretty much what we already knew. I mean, she's, I think it says she's from Philadelphia, born and raised in Philadelphia, but on occasion loses her way there. I don't know what that means. Is she just like, she gets lost, or she like...
She disappears somewhere else and then finds herself back in Philadelphia?
That's what I thought it meant, but maybe... Okay, then I thought, then I was like, is she renowned for always being lost? At a young age, she received classical instruction in oil painting. Oh, okay, so we didn't know that. And then her favorite kind of art is stories. And then, yeah, that's basically it. Just it says like, and now she writes looking over the waterfront in Pennsylvania.
Waterfront, that's nice.
I think that's what it said. I keep thinking Philadelphia, and I read Pennsylvania so many times. I don't know why.
Well, Philadelphia is in Pennsylvania.
That's why, maybe. But I don't know. I didn't know where she lived, and she studied like Chinese history, I think it said as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I was waiting for some sort of Chinese something to happen in this book, but really, it's all just kind of been a whole new, like,
well,
it's futuristic world.
Ambiguously distant future.
Yeah.
It's a sort of like a post-apocalyptic situation where, as humans are wont to do in most scenarios, ruined the thing that they were on, in this case, the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're trying to figure out what to do about that as a society. That's not the crux of, I mean, I guess maybe that's the crux of the story in some ways, but that's not the point of the story. It's not fixing the world. It is
interesting, though, that like Celia is on an island, and is she far enough away from a city where she doesn't get hit with like all the toxic like pollution in the air? Because like straight up that one little village that Casey goes to, like that guy builds a shield that goes all the way around and protects them from like the...
Well, they're not getting... Pollutants. Their pollution necessarily from the eco-city, because the point of the eco-city is that it gives out next to zero pollution. That's the whole idea, is that the eco-cities are built for people to live in as close to, you know, zero footprint as possible. So much so that the majority of them don't even have windows on their dwellings anymore, because it helps them maintain the temperature inside so that they don't have to use more air conditioning or heating or whatever to use up more resources. A lot of the people are even getting like genetic modifications where they're basically conducting photosynthesis in their bodies so that they don't have to take up resources for food. So yeah. The eco-city is not outputting anything.
No, but the shield, like the force field shield.
Yeah.
It's like blocking the pollutants that are there, like left over.
Yeah, because the Earth just in general is so ruined by what we've done for centuries and centuries.
But it's
so
still
her
like
island
filtering.
Is, in theory, not any less susceptible to those same things that their island is.
But theirs is covered.
Yeah, because actinium, or ACT as they call him for short, more easily, made a shield for them because he's like a wizard or whatever.
Yeah, he's like that farmer boy. He's like the version of that farm kid that knows like quantum physics and builds a rocket ship. That's like a classic story, right? Like the redneck being like a physicist.
I think that happens like in reverse in
October Sky.
October Sky. I totally forgot about that movie.
They
I was
rednecks,
thinking about
right?
Interstellar, where Matthew McConaughey is like
they're
like
driving pickup trucks.
Pilot, and then he says, "No, I'm tired of being a space pilot. I want to be a farmer," and then has to be a space pilot again. And then goes on the journey of a lifetime.
And he drove an old truck, but it was like just the body of an old truck. It's like they took a brand new truck and just threw that old ass body on it.
Right,
just to make it like
the technology in that
no,
movie
he's
is
in
ambiguous.
A truck.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But it's another, you know, just sometime in the future after humans finished ruining the Earth story.
Yeah. Do you think I'm just so sensitive to coronavirus because it's been affecting us directly and indirectly for the last year? And that's why I think, like, she had to write a scene where they were like, they're not wearing masks. Like, they said that because Casey was wearing her mask because, like, if she went anywhere without, like, covering, she could
potentially
up,
pick up the microorganisms, yeah, or, you know, the different things that they call it.
And then she goes to find, like, the eco city, her sister's old connect down in, like, the underworld. I'm imagining it very Matrixy. Like, these are the people that don't plug in.
You know, there's some very kind of like cyberpunky vibes in the eco city.
Yeah,
and the different things that we see there. But they've all got, you know, different cybernetic implants to varying degrees. Some of them are doing different things. They spend a lot of time in the actual Matrix.
Yeah, that's true. Does Celia have like a chip in her that will heal her body? Like super
not
quick?
Not anymore.
Okay, then I hate to skip around so much.
I mean, I guess it's not because this is a more than decent example of a futuristic world where we don't, you know, waste a lot of time getting bogged down in how the cybernetics work.
Yeah.
But for what we do know, there's the implant that she has ACT take out of her before she leaves. And that's her intraface, which is like the heads up display and the computer that's in everybody's brain that they're mm-hmm. using to, like, you know, pull everything up all the time and do different things. But then there's also, you know, I think we're left to assume that the interface also handles the different, like, body function modification stuff. Because there's that one scene where Casey is in trouble of, you know, getting sad. And
oh,
then
yeah,
it gives her a warning, like, hey, you're supposed to, like, you can't reach this threshold because you committed a felony. So we're going to interject.
We can't allow
at
you to get
point.
Unstable.
Yeah.
And then you might start
so
hacking
then it,
again.
Like, dumps some serotonin into her system. But I don't know if it's like got a repository of serotonin or if it just, instigates the body generating some serotonin. Because it,
dang,
which makes more sense if it's just an implant that it can, you know, instigate your body doing more of one thing or the other, depending on what's needed according to, you know, its, you know, analysis. I don't think so. I think that what Celia got taken out of her is all that there is.
Okay.
Given the descriptions that we've got, which is not very much, which is perfectly fine. We don't have to get stuck in the stupid science of something that doesn't exist.
For some reason in my mind, I was like, we're only getting part of her device. Like, he's only able to remove part of it. And it was like busted because he had to fix it. So that, and then like they were getting... Why is...
Well, it was busted because she told him to break it after she right. had it removed. And then when she then
that.
Disappeared,
uh-huh.
he was like, well, I need to put it back together so I can find out clues as to why she left. Because she didn't tell him, I'm going to disappear or I'm going to die or anything like that.
So how is Casey getting info on her like her database that like her sister's back or alive or dead or whatever?
She's not.
She oh, those were dreams. Okay.
Yeah.
I kept thinking like, what the hell's happening? Because it was hard for me to tell between like the dream and even when they would go into VR world and then mm-hmm. when they would go into like regular space, it was just, it's kind of hard to follow. I did like how the chapter switched between like a sort of marking off the days if you were on the like cast away on an island, you know, that's how they counted the chapters for Celia. And then mm-hmm. it was numerical, like it, the literal 1-2 for chapter 12 for, Casey.
Mm.
I just thought that was kind of cute.
Yeah, that's a clever visual touch to
yeah.
the book. Yeah. It's nice whenever there's small things like that, that ultimately don't really mean anything, but whenever you're physically reading something, you know, you forget that it's a visual medium that you're intaking,
mm-hmm.
but little things like that kind of, you know, maybe not necessarily remind you. I mean, I guess, you know, some people literally are reminded, oh, yes, I'm looking at something. But, you know, you just don't think about it being a visual thing when you're reading because it's all in your head, right?
Yeah.
But then something like that just kind of adds to it where it is a two-dimensional visual thing and that you're just reading words on a page that you're interpreting and making images of. But then that's giving you something to kind of push that along a little
bit. It's another layer of storytelling. It makes it more immersive, you know.
That's why everybody loves the images on at the front of each chapter in Harry Potter so much. Those things get talked about all the time on the r/Harry Potter.
Well, that's why I straight up bought the whole like pop-up picture book, or not the pop, was it a pop-up? I can't even remember what it was now. That Harry Potter book that I bought that had all the it was like an illustrated Harry Potter book. It did seem like it had
some pop-ups, didn't it?
I think it did. It had pop-ups, and it was all crazy and fun.
That was pretty neat.
Yeah. It's so much fun seeing somebody's creation in another world. Like, even in this one, like in this front, here you can see, there was an illustration of, like, the island that they're on and stuff, and, like, the little the house.
Yeah.
And
I love illustrations in books. I'm sad whenever there's not.
Yeah. Well, do you miss that in the Kindle? Did you get that photo?
There's the cover photo, but there's not any of that, you know, inside the spine stuff like that. Nothing that is in the Kindle edition that I've seen so far.
Yeah, the other photo is just of like the future city up in the sky where everyone's plugged in.
Yeah. You can show it to the camera that we have now. It might be difficult to see.
This is the future from this city.
Far away, but.
And just cool little illustrations. Feel like I'm a teacher reading and like showing the class.
Right, and then you show the class. Look, there's the elephant by the bay, or whatever, the watermelons down by the bay where the watermelons grow.
I was thinking of that caterpillar book.
Hungry Caterpillar?
Yeah.
I love that book.
That one's probably
it's not like it's some like, you know, literary masterpiece, but I loved it when I was a kid. I remember wanting to read it all the time. I think I have a copy of it upstairs.
It's probably canceled and anti-Semitic now somehow.
Or something. Yeah. Right. Who knows?
I don't really know why she couldn't see color.
Well, it's gotta just be because of a trauma, right? It's just the trauma of her having left and we don't know what happens to her after she leaves the city, except that she just wakes up on the island without any memories and can't see color. So what happens in the interim between those two events that we know about? It, you know, she just sets sail and thinks that she's going to die out at sea, and she'd rather do that than die in a stasis pod or wait 80 years to be cured of her thing or whatever, you know, the cancer that she develops. So she's like, well, I'll just go out and like live, because she's like the one that wants to live and doesn't believe in the eco, not like doesn't believe in the eco city stuff necessarily, but doesn't believe in the sort of like manufactured life that most people have these days.
Yeah, she had a literal social life with actual physical people that she met up with regularly. And
yeah. Like, and so she, you know, it's like, well, you know, if I'm going to die, then I'm going to die this way. So does she get caught up in a storm? And then that's how she winds up on the island without any, any intent of getting to that island? Or did something else happen in that besides the storm? Like, did she get taken by some other people and then something happened? Or
so she got new cancer, because they cured all the old common cancer.
They cured the common cancer.
I liked how it was written that way. It's just like, oh, just plain old cancer. We got that covered,
right? Yeah,
but
now there's new ones.
Yeah, not new cancer. It's like, oh, okay. Stupid, why are you still calling it cancer? It's like, I thought it was all under the...
Well, because cancer just describes the method in which the cells overtake the body, more or less, right?
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, so if they figured out some method to, I don't know, remanipulate the cells and cure for all common cancer, you know, it seemed like they should call it something different now. But I don't understand medical science, obviously.
Well, it's not even something that people really know about, evidently, because... Even Casey, who knows, you know, as close to everything as anybody on that eco city could know, didn't know that there was new cancers. And so she's like, I thought that the McCombs, the other family that was friends with her family, that were like part of the elite, like design team of the eco city or whatever, they had like cured all cancers. And then the doctor says, well, they didn't, not the new ones, because I guess new ones have developed since they did then and, you know, built the eco cities and life changed. So it's not like that's like common public knowledge. It's just like, I guess some doctors know about it and some people who end up with them somehow. Because in theory, nobody should ever get them. Yet. It's just that Celia was like insistent on swimming in the polluted sea.
So it's her own fault. She deserves everything she's getting.
More or less. That's what Casey thinks for a little while as well.
So
she lets her anger take over.
I think it must be, you're right, like trauma mixed in with like getting her chip removed that was obviously connected to her like neural function somehow. Yeah. Like that has to do something
when you
go to the underground doctor to get it removed, your buddy.
I mean, I've heard of people losing different senses whenever they experience extreme traumas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be, there's no medical reason, you know, that they would lose their sense of hearing or something like that, or their sense of sight. You know, whenever doctors look at them, they're like, well, everything's working the way it's supposed to, but then they still can't see for some reason. And the only catalyst that had happened was that, you know, someone died or something crazy like that, or they were in like a crazy accident or whatever, you know. So it's happened before to different degrees.
In real life.
Yeah.
So Celia can see blue now, right? Blue.
I think she can see everything now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Pretty For sure some reason, I thought it was colors. Like, I can just see blue. I was like, well, that's fun. We'll get all the colors by the end of the book.
Right.
I don't know what we're going to do for the rest of the book. Like, we haven't saved anybody. Nobody's been reunited.
There's some great twist that is yet to be revealed.
And then how did Celia start macking with that dude right after falling off the cliff that I just showed you guys the photo of?
Well, I think that all that really happened to her was that her shoulder got dislocated. And she got a little banged up as well. But the most extreme of her injuries from that fall was her shoulder being dislocated, which they then fixed right there.
Well, it's like that cliff in Castaway where he was like...
I don't remember almost anything from that movie.
He made like this little mannequin and he was like... he was testing out, like, if he jumped off the cliff, if he would die.
Yeah.
Because he was like, this thing will blow up, you know, like, right, if I would die. And the thing was, like, pretty held together. And he was like, oh, okay, so, like, if I jump, I would just probably die a slow and painful,
right, agonizing it would just be awful, death. Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't it be immediate?
So,
just to try and land on your head.
Yeah, and then I don't think he trusted his rope tying skills enough to, like, even go through with hanging himself on a noose, like, on the... He was going to get all dramatic and hang it like off of this cliff. But anyway, so I was imagining a bigger cliff than that. I bet you could survive a bigger fall than you think.
I mean, there's people who have survived crazy falls. There's people who have survived plane crashes where they free fell.
That like happened in the Da Vinci
thousands
Code.
Thousands and thousands of feet.
That was the thing in the Da Vinci Code. He like fell out of the plane and he landed in some barn and the barn was full of hay and he like broke both of his legs.
The second one or the third one even?
It was either the pre...
Because I just watched Da Vinci Code with Kenneth and Nikki during the freeze. It was one of... We played Rock, Paper, Scissors to watch.
Then.
Yeah, because I haven't ever seen Angels and Demons. And then I haven't seen the third one, which actually just came out like a year and a half ago.
I can't remember what that one's called.
I don't know. More Da Vinci?
More demons with Da Vinci.
Da Vinci's
demons.
How did we get Tom Hanks to do this again?
Tom Hanks is like, I got another house. Or I just got my Greece citizenship.
Right, yeah. Everyone knows you make 3 movies in Greece, you become a citizen.
That's all you got to do?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he paid
them
a lot of money.
Their economy is so busted.
And that's why I thought he just bought it. Thought he just bought his citizenship. It was like, I'm Tom Hanks.
I'm sure you can do that with some countries. I mean, money makes most anything possible in most situations, depending on how much you have.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're doing good when most of their economy was the tourist economy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they were having a lot of trouble before COVID even.
Oh.
Because their economy was like 90% tourism. And then something, I can't remember, it's now been like 4 years since that was like a big talking point. I think that the big crash happened in 2007. It doesn't matter. But yeah, Greece is not having a good time.
I think Joan Hub did a lot of like cultural concepts that were really cool. And like, I'm trying to think of specifics. Like, I know that one mask reference, but I think that was just a fun... It must have been on her mind, you know, I feel like, because she wanted to write about like it being weird that they weren't wearing masks or whatever.
Yeah.
But that I don't think was like a cultural thing. I think it... I'm trying to think of what I'm even referencing. Just when I was reading, I felt like she did a good job, like, guessing some things. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. It was just such a... I like the mental chess she was playing, like, with her what-if scenario. Like, what if, you know, the future went this way, and then she kind of kept going with it, like, how most of the world moved into this, like, digital space. Mm-hmm. She made that, which is kind of a common theme now, but she made it into, like, her own for this story. You know, it made it seem like it could have been unique to this story, just everybody moving into that VR space.
Yeah.
I also felt like there was some Black Mirror-themed stuff in this.
Well, I think that Black Mirror has reached the point of, you know, near-cultural ubiquity that anytime you're dealing with certainly, like, future-thinking concepts about, like, you know, where humanity is going with technology and what that means.
Yeah.
And you start turning into, you know, like, Ray Bradbury 2.0, then... Like, the being able to then just, like, draw the line to Black Mirror becomes shorter and shorter and shorter of a distance.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the reason, like, there's the same way that anytime something supernatural happens, you know, less so these days, but people, you just be like, oh, what is this, the Twilight Zone or whatever? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just something that, you know, it's so close to everything because they did it so well and were, you know, so impactful in what they were doing with Black Mirror.
Yeah. My exposure to it was only really the first couple seasons. It. And it made me think of a specific episode in those seasons. Oh, when they were like how they had their ratings over their head. It wasn't mm-hmm. specifically like a social rating like it was in Black Mirror, but it was something that everybody could see.
It becomes a social rating.
And yeah.
And because people love to segregate each other.
Exactly. And that was the whole theme of a Kristen Bell episode. I think Kristen Bell was in it. Didn't matter. But that was a Black Mirror themed theme to the episode. And with everybody looking and seeing like a display on their eyeballs, like when you're looking around and you have like
that's the future I want. I don't want to have to hold a phone anymore. I just want it to be in my brain. I'm ready to be a robot.
I'll just be like on TikTok instead of listening to you during the podcast. Just like flipping through TikTok.
No idea what's going on. Only watching TikToks.
Dude, what'll happen to the deep web if we're it'll all plugged in exist. All the time? Well, how do it'll we
probably
go?
Probably even easier to exist.
How do you get a VPN point? In your brain?
Well, the methods that you access it will just change. Just won't have to be VPNs anymore. They'll figure something else out.
We'll have to talk. I like how they just throw around the term like you're banned from hacking and doing science.
Like, yeah, that's such a peculiar. Punishment.
It's like everyone knows that you're not supposed to be like doing science and hacking, but like especially not Casey, right? Because she got in trouble with the law.
I guess that it's there's some sort of arbitrariness to that punishment because what she was supposed to be, what's the word? Expelled from the city. It's not the exact word I wanted. But then her dad, who's, you know, since her parents' friends and her mom died, he's like the number one guy on the fucking station, more or less. And so he has like some pool or whatever. Mm-hmm. He stepped in and was like, but what if this and that and the other thing, can we not get her, you know, excommunicated from the society? And so I guess part of that would be like if... You know, if she comes and works for, you know, the committee and, you know, isn't going to do anything, you know, science related anymore, like she's not going to go to, you know, we won't let her, you know, get into college for it. We won't let her pursue a career in it because we don't want her to learn more of whatever it is that she was like, because like, presumably it was some sort of computer science that she was going into because she's a relatively skilled hacker, apparently. That we've not seen her do it.
I love when that is just the term that's thrown out. Like, I'm a hacker.
Right, yeah. It's so 90s, right?
That's why I like it. It's just, like in Jurassic Park, that one girl was just like, I'm a hacker. It's like, okay.
Right.
Then she was hacking into Jurassic Park's like security system and like unlocking the stuff just in time.
Right.
Or locking it. But she finally hacked into something too. Right at the end, she like hacked into the like the meeting of the freaking government or whatever.
And they're Did she hack into it? Because I think she was supposed to attend it because she's a part of the committee.
Felt like she hacked into it.
I don't remember because she was supposed to attend it, and then like didn't because they were too busy chasing down Casey breadcrumbs, and then.
Casey.
Sorry, not Casey, Celia. Oh, okay. Yeah. Casey and Act were chasing down Celia breadcrumbs, you know, getting to the island and everything. And then they're on the way back from the island. And she's got this newfound, like, determination to do something. Sounds like Act is trying to get her to go, like, you know, all, like, terrorist group on the city or whatever.
Yeah. How is Celia always gone when they go to the island?
Like, it's not how the same island.
Okay.
There's nobody on Celia's island.
That's what I thought. But then I just, for some reason, was just like, well, maybe now there's somebody. Like, I also was throwing in an element of, like, a time skip, time jump thing. Because what, unless I just, like, fused this with some scary story I was listening to right before, like, in the middle of reading, you know? I swear there was some, there's some huge difference in time. Like, I don't feel like Casey thinks it's been 3 years. I feel like Casey thinks it's been 4 months since she's seen her sister.
And that's what Celia, I was thinking for a while as well.
It's like, no, it's been 3 years.
But then there was a point where Casey finally did say, because I was thinking about it so much that before I started reading yesterday even, I was thinking, okay, I need to go back a couple of chapters and double check my time math and try to figure out if what I was thinking was correct, and that it seems like it hasn't been so long since Casey disappeared, or not since Celia disappeared, according to Casey. But then Celia is saying that it's been 3 years. And then very shortly after I started reading yesterday, there was a point where Casey does say something about it having been multiple years. So I think, and I want to go double check that again to make sure that I just didn't misinterpret something that I was looking for already.
Yeah.
But I think that we're supposed to finally have gotten the answer that, okay, it does match up.
Yeah, because we were just, if anything, Celia is the one that's for sure said it a couple times. It's been years, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's, I mean, unless going into the, like, plugging into the Matrix, unless that, like, that wouldn't really make sense if it slowed down time, though, I guess.
It certainly wouldn't be something that they wouldn't have caught.
Yeah, it seems like if anything, especially with Celia never plugging in, you know?
Yeah.
What if the chip in your body just makes time go slower?
There's something, I mean, I think like we said earlier, that there's some major twist yet to be revealed that we're going to find out, like, oh shit, it's because
they're clock stoppers.
They're not actually on Earth or something like that. You know, like there's something crazy that we haven't seen yet.
They do always specify human, which I've been like, okay, why are you always telling me that it's human? Like when the boy washed up on the shore and like strangled her or whatever, I guess it could have been an android or a robot or something, you know, that would have made sense for her classifying it a human. Because I thought it was weird. Like, of course, something that looks like a person would be a person. Like, it would be a human. Like, why would you even need to say that? Looks like a human. Strangled you like a person would. Like, I don't know. It just seemed kind of odd to throw that in extra. But
in that situation, she hadn't seen another human for 3 years.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I don't feel like that was the only time, but that's the only time I can think of that she said human specifically. I guess you're right.
I think she's just been alone for so long, and she doesn't even remember, aside from sporadic memories that she's getting here and there, of mostly her sister, and then until very recently, she's starting to see memories of other people here and there as well. So it's like her only reference point for other people is this sister that she's only just certain that she has, but she can't, you know. If she sits there and is analytical about it, she probably would have to admit that she can't guarantee that that person even exists anyways.
What if Joan Ho was watching Lost? And then she's just like, I want to weave Lost into my pandemic future world.
Right. We start flashing sideways and shit like that.
No wonder it's confusing. And then at the end, it's all purgatory. It's like, okay.
That show was so fucking stupid. I only watched like the first two seasons, and then I said, you know what? This show sucks.
Well, it was fun for those seasons because it's like, ooh, it all makes sense. We're all on an island. There's a weird bunker. Maybe there's something in there. 4, 8, 15, they 16, 23, 42. They just kept
asking more and more questions and never providing any answers. And I said, okay, whatever. This is obviously never going to solve anything.
I was even okay with like the black smoke monster, but like... And like the cool panda bear, like wasn't there like a cool crazy a
polar bear that shows up? Polar bear,
that's what it was. It was a crazy, yeah, because panda bears eat bamboo. So they would eat meat though, right? If like presented like with a fish.
I have no idea. Maybe, perhaps.
Huh.
I don't know that much about pandas. They're closer to raccoons than they are bears. I know that.
Well, then we've been dead naming panda bears or mislabeling them. Ugh, we're not as woke as I thought we were.
Yeah, sorry, pandas. Pandas of the world. We apologize.
Going extinct. Sneezing on cute videos. Going viral.
Right.
Or like, little baby. That wasn't that what it was? A little baby panda sneezed and she's like, ah!
Yeah, it scares the shit out of the mom, yeah.
I always like zoos in those settings. But in this world... Are there even wild animals? Like, they're not hunting on this island. Seems like they could there's go birds. Fishing. Yeah, I guess you're... Yeah, there are birds. I wonder why they don't go fishing. They don't know how? Maybe?
I guess not.
I mean, I don't really know how. Like, especially if I was on an island.
Yeah. I mean, it's not easy. That's for sure. I mean, making the hook and all that is a decent amount of effort. You know, to make, like, a decent hook.
Yeah, I was thinking even like a net.
I guess maybe people did it in ancient times. Net.
Yeah.
But
I would have to make a net if we were going to survive because I'm like, I can't fish. I'm just bad at it.
Yeah. I'm not particularly great at fishing either. I don't think... And fishing in the ocean is difficult because you're at a... Well, I guess there's a pier though. I don't know how far the pier goes out though.
There's no pier in my picture. I'm just kidding. Like, this photo is not accurate to the story that we've been told.
It's just an artistic representation of the environment. But the pier, I mean, I guess the pier must go out far enough to fish. At the very least, the pier has to go far enough for a boat to really exist.
Yeah, so speaking of boats, the last boat, she just takes her mattress and she's like, now it's a boat?
Yeah.
What?
Like, I think we have to assume that it's not it's like a box like a spring. Tempur-Pedic mattress. Like there's some other material in it.
It's like what if it's an air mattress? It could be
some of that Everfiber stuff that they created
filled
already.
With air.
It's just an air mattress, just a regular old air mattress.
Yeah, but made with like I can't think of anything scientific. I was like about to say midichlorians. It's like you can't make it out of the Jedi juice. What was the material you just said from this?
The Everfiber.
Yeah, what if they just had Everfiber beds so they're like indestructible and they last forever for generations?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It must be something like that.
Full of air, though. Yeah. That's why it floats.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
I wonder why she didn't do that the first time. Like because when she left originally, she doesn't think she's coming back. Because she
found an actual boat.
Oh, yeah.
She found an actual boat and thought, oh. That's made to be on the sea.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that she started with a boat. I always keep imagining it to be the boat from Wind Waker, the one that died.
The King of Red Lions whatever.
Because she's like naming everything and talking to it. And it's like it could talk back to it. I mean, the boat never talked, so I'm assuming it was just a boat, right? The boat didn't talk?
No, it was just a boat. She was just talking to herself.
She was doing like a Wilson thing. She was just being funny. Yeah.
Because she's a funny girl. She makes a lot of jokes.
That would so be me on an island. Would you talk? You think if you
talk
on
all the time just to yourself? Myself. Yeah, yeah, okay. I talk to myself nonstop.
Okay, so yeah, like 100%. So like when we all die and we're in heaven watching each other's like videos of life, like if one of us gets stranded, it'll be like, oh, check this out. It'll just be us like talking in the car by yourself. That's a Patton Oswalt joke, but like it's like if you heard me talking in the car by myself, it'd be like a perfect blooper reel of just like his life and I don't know, silly. Yeah, I make jokes all the time just for me.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do a survival challenge, too. I mean, this is super different than survival. there's no way I could just, like, wash up on a shore that happens right, to have a little house already. And then how does she make these robots? Like,
well, the
she had like a kit already there at the house.
So just like nobody put it was together? Already mostly there.
Okay,
and just needed just a little bit of repair or something like that.
And Celia's the super genius sister, or the other one's the super genius sister, or they're both.
Casey's super the geniuses. Super genius sister. I mean, I think it's we're you know left to assume that the people in this world, and certainly
okay.
that are of their parentage, you know, people who designed the Eco Cities mm-hmm. probably have a passing knowledge of, you know, how to put together a basic home robot.
Okay, so like in my family, it'd be like Alex is the super genius, but like if I was on a island, I could probably rig up a radio. Like if I found most of a radio, I could probably yeah. maybe make it work.
I'd believe that.
But Alex could probably for sure. If I could call anybody, phone a friend, right? Yeah. It'd probably be that. Okay. That's how I'm comparing it to me, to make it more immersive and comparable to my life.
There you go. That's what you're supposed to do.
Do you imagine your friends as characters in books?
No.
Yeah, I couldn't help but imagining one of my friends as like... Well, when it was a little more ambiguous, like who was who, who was who, for me, at least, I think we talked about it before the show a little bit, because they didn't give anybody explicitly say their names for a little while in the beginning.
Yeah.
So
they're always referring to each other
mm-hmm.
in the first couple of chapters.
Well, and it changes perspective too. Like when it goes to Celia, it's talking from the first person, but then when it's Casey, it says like Casey was doing blah blah blah. Like it's omnipotent third person, which is interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's partly to illustrate that she's kind of outside herself normally anyways. She doesn't feel the same way that she interprets other humans feel.
Whoa.
She's always having that dialogue, like, why don't I feel more upset about this thing that happened to me?
See, okay, so it's not like a... I was thinking of it as like an example of like what everyone turns into.
We do get a lot of her thoughts, and her thoughts are first person, though. I think that it might jump around
maybe like
a little
dialogue.
Bit.
Sorry, go on.
I think that it might jump around a little bit more with Casey mm-hmm. just because of the environment. Mm-hmm. And there's different perspectives that exist in her environment. So, you know, theoretically, you could be a face in the crowd watching her go from building to building or whatever. Whereas Celia, she's the only perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's a little bit more, maybe it jumps around with Casey a little bit more to illustrate that. Or maybe that's just the way that it was naturally written, just because the environment is different. And so the way you're going to write the way somebody moves in a different environment is potentially going to be even just a little bit more different than the other person who's in a totally different environment.
Well, I mean, as you were talking about it, even it made me think, what if she was trying to say something more along? I mean, this kind of goes with what you're saying too, not more along the lines of this. I don't know why I was going to say it like that, but what if this is also showing like the flaw of like the character that we become in like the future, like the human society, like what becomes the norm for humans? Like we're so removed that we're not thinking of us as ourselves. We're more of like, this is our avatar and we go into this digital world. So like we're thinking of ourselves in this third person, whereas Celia has more of a sense of self being more
yeah
in the moment.
I can like, believe that.
Forcing herself to be out there and do things. Like, I wonder if we're going to get, like, I wonder if that is something that she's trying to do, which you just told me. No, I mean, the only reason I thought of it was because of what you were saying. Like, then I wonder if maybe Casey's perspective is going to go into the first person once she starts to maybe understand herself. I think what you're saying, though, too, is like how she's never experienced things the same as other people has a lot to do with mm-hmm. it. And maybe mostly is what it has to do with it, because I'll let myself.
Yeah, because she doesn't really have, or at least she doesn't interpret herself as having emotions almost at all. She's constantly thinking, you know, why is it that they're upset about this? If you just think about it this way, like, what else did you expect? And, you know, she is always making comments like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a problem with it because she is sort of like, why didn't I feel the way that dad and Celia did when mom died, and why don't I feel like anything that society expects me to be feeling now that Celia's missing and all that sort of stuff. She sort of thinks there's something wrong with her.
Do you ever feel like that?
Like, why am I not reacting the same way that other people are reacting?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah, relatively frequently.
I'm very, like, emotional. Like, I was re-watching My Hero Academia, mm-hmm. and I'm still, like, crying.
Like, when I get really emotional from things like that, from stories, but things that happen in real life really don't affect me all that much.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something in real life that, like, got me. No, it would have had to be something probably like dad related. I don't know. It's usually around a story though, like that pulls on my emotions and heartstrings and mm-hmm. stuff. Do you think that there's like a love triangle going on? Like an unknown love triangle?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I don't really think that. I think that maybe Act might have had feelings for Celia, but like it was never reciprocated and probably stated, you know, like right, yeah. I don't feel that way, but like we can be friends, you know what I mean? Yeah, so
he's probably like kind of, you know, obsessed with her because she's doing everything different from the way that everybody else is. She wants to be like present in the real world, and
yeah,
she wants to have her intraface ripped out of her, and so Axe is probably like, holy shit, who's this girl?
Yeah, you and know? So yeah, I guess you could, I mean, of course you can admire somebody without having romantic feelings for somebody.
Yeah.
You know?
And you can also confuse those two things.
Yes, definitely.
Certainly whenever you're young. I think we're given to believe that Casey and Act are somewhere between 16 and 18. Well, I think that Casey's 16 explicitly.
Yeah.
Celia is supposed to be somewhere around 18. And Casey thinks that Act is somewhere between the two of them.
Yeah, and Celia's younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No,
wait, no, sorry.
Celia's
so, yeah,
the older.
That's, yeah. Yeah, Casey's younger. Okay. Yeah, that's the way, that's the vibe I got, and that, like, it's easy to maybe not transition those feelings to her sister, but I feel like they seem to really be hitting it off. Like, are they just both going to get with the people that they're next to? Proximity?
That's sort of, like, the easy story, right? Is just to, like, you know, we paired these characters up, and they're going to be paired up, you know?
I think there was, like, a study done that's like, where did you meet like your significant other or whatever, and like most of them are just due to proximity. It's like somebody in your neighborhood or like somebody you work with or you went to school with, like yeah. It's somebody literally just close to you, like in your apartment building.
Yeah.
Like
I believe that totally.
It's just that would be just, I'm sure it's going to be like that. What are they going to do, trade boyfriends? Like,
right.
I don't think that's going to happen. If anything, I feel like maybe Act is going to see that she has feeling that, like, his love for Celia is...
Maybe know, not what he thought it was.
Yeah, and, I mean, she doesn't even remember him, I don't think. So.
Not at this point. I think that she had one memory of him that we saw, but it was ill-defined. She was sort of like, there was this boy, but he wasn't like the others, because she's sort of like somebody who, you know, is with a lot of people. She is hanging out with people. She's got a whole folder in her intraface titled XXX filled with memories of boys that she's been with.
Yeah, that
so
made
she's
her
not
sound
afraid
like she's
to,
a bit of
you know,
a,
get around.
Yeah. No, that did make it sound like she was kind of, yeah, like it's making me have to avoid saying words because I don't want to sound presumptuous or like I'm shaming her in any way. But
she just likes being alive.
That's true.
She's comfortable in her sexuality as a teenager.
Yeah, that's the other thing, I guess. Maybe that's the part that I was just like,
teenagers fuck, dude.
Yeah, they do. But should we be promoting it in this future when everyone can be doing it digitally? Does she have to be risking her body, disease, and pregnancy?
There's no diseases in the eco-cities, though.
Pregnancy, then?
You that's probably something that's easily fixed as well.
Yeah, probably nobody gets pregnant.
It's probably like super mega easily fixed.
Oh, hell yeah.
Good they might be sterile for all we know.
Good for her then, because those are the only two like stigmas around it, right? Is that
yeah.
just that you could get
I mean,
disease?
Yeah, if you get outside of, I mean, as far as like modern thinking goes, yeah, that those are the two potential risks is, you know, contracting or spreading diseases and unplanned / unwanted pregnancies.
Right.
But the struggle that a lot of humankind, certainly American humankind, has is all the religious stigmas about it, you know, like
our Judeo-Christian
keeping
background.
Like your body sacred for God and, you know, horseshit like that. you know, the sanctity of marriage is the only thing that makes it okay. You know, just stupid backwards thinking like that.
My body is a temple.
Yeah. All that garbage. That's why America has such a problem with sex. Because we're afraid of it. We're afraid of it like we are so many other things that, you know, the magic man in the sky tells us to be afraid of.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like it's... Yeah, it still feels like taboo kind of too. Like,
yeah. We really demonize sex in America. It's really, really bad. It's really, really bad for the health of all humanity to think of it that way.
Well, sorry I was so presumptuous. I'm trying to not be part of old America, Jonah, and you're fixing my brain one book at a time.
One book at a time. I just think about that all the time. I think about the way that America portrays sex all the time. I always have. For some reason, it's just something that I've always thought about. I mean, I was, you know, sexually active whenever I was pretty young. And so I was actively fighting stigmas like that. But then as a male, it's not really that much of a stigma against me. It's sort of like, well, boys will be boys and that kind of horseshit. You know, if I was a girl, then it would have been a, you know, an actual struggle for me to have been as active as I was as early as I was. But even so, I was still like, why do you care if teenagers are having sex, if they're not being stupid about it? Like,
because
anybody that I was with never got pregnant. None of us ever got diseases from our acts. I don't know what other people's lives went on to become. So we were being safe. So why is it a problem?
Well, you'll burn in the pits of consensual. Hell forever.
Yeah, exactly. So. Like, and so I've always thought about that. And I've always thought, what the fuck is wrong with like the people around me? Or what is wrong with the people around me that we have to, you know, think that this is such a terrible thing.
And I can't stand the idea of burning in hell for eternity either. It seems like you should just burn off the sins and then get to go to heaven. Like, here's your sentence. Like, you get to burn these sins out and then you can go join the rest of us in
that heaven. Popular imagery is not described in the Bible. That what? Imagery was something that was made up at some point. You know, I'm sure that could be pinpointed with research, but at some point, some, you know, very zealous leader of a Christian church somewhere in the world started describing it that way. There's like one description of a lake of fire that is in hell. And even that, I think, is like an interpretation that somebody makes in the Bible. It's not literally like he saw that because it's you don't see
it. Dante's Inferno, I'm sure. I'm sure that's where it got like popularized as the...
Well, even Dante's Inferno is not just fire.
No, it's, but they're the, like the yeah. many dimensions. Mm-hmm. Like, and then just on the cover, it being called Inferno, people are just like, oh, must all right. be burning.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the imagery.
Yeah. I only ever had like one leader in the church that was like, you know, aware
Hell's
enough.
Not that
to,
bad.
They were aware enough to be like, well, you know, the constant burning imagery isn't actually in the Bible. The way that I interpreted it is that, and this is him speaking, I'm quoting the person that it was is that the torture of being in hell is the separation from God. And as a kid, I was like, okay, well, that's a much more reasonable explanation of what hell is. But I still don't believe in any of it. But anyway, yeah, sex is okay. Just don't be stupid about it.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, 16 years old and your 16-year-old partner wants to bang and you want to bang, fucking do it. Just don't be stupid about it.
Do it in a world where there are no diseases. They've cured common.
Right. Yeah.
You can do it digitally.
Or just use protection. You know, just be smart. Just be responsible.
Well, Will, those are only 97%.
I think you can go get tested in most states as a teenager if you just go to a Planned Parenthood place. I think you can go get tested for diseases for basically nothing.
Isn't something going on with Planned Parenthood? I don't even know.
There's always something going on.
That's what I was going to say. There's always something.
There's so many. There's so much resource out there for people to be smart about that stuff. You can be like Celia and just have fun.
We need to change the whole format of this podcast. We just got ourselves a platform.
Right? We're just going to talk. That's our platform is teenagers banging and why it's okay.
As long as you're safe, no more of this abstinence of BS, because then you're just going to be all secretive about it.
Right. Studies show that if you just tell people not to do stuff, they're going to just do it.
Why are we
instead
like
arm them with knowledge and resources, and then they can do whatever that thing is safely and responsibly.
Hey, so do you think that Hero is, do you think that he like untied the rope that Celia was like
I don't know what to think about all of that coincidence yet.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it could still be a thing. Because we have to, and much like Celia sort of tells herself, she has to remember when he almost killed her the first day.
Right, yeah.
And it's like a thing that he doesn't remember or says he doesn't remember.
Convenient.
And so it could be a red herring, right? Where, you know, we have a reason to distrust him already and have a reason to see that he could, you know, at a very kind of like base level, be like a schizo, right? And mm-hmm. has like these different personalities that come out because of different stimuli or whatever. And so maybe he did sabotage her when she was climbing down the ridge, and maybe he did destroy the wooden raft that, you know, or get rid of all the logs that she was going to tie into a wooden raft. She hadn't gotten like the actual construction part done yet. Maybe he is sabotaging her, but it, that seems a little too easy, right? Or too obvious, maybe not easy, but it's a little too obvious. Like, of course that's what the answer is, because it's right there in front of us. I feel like it's going to be a little bit more complicated.
And like, what's the point of that? Like, is he an agent from the other side, and Celia is actually like, she erased her stuff from her memory, just like Zaphod Beeblebrox. Like, she's like, I can't trust myself with the information that I have. Like, I'll just have to figure it out later whenever my sister and I are reunited. Leave a burning passion for my sister in my brain. There's going to be some brain manipulation stuff we'll find out about later that either was intentional, or it almost feels like it was intentional, because how did she go to this island in the first place? Like, was she just, did she just get on a raft for her like because she wanted to live that life that,
well, she
like,
just took a boat from the boat rental at the bottom of the Eco City, like they always did to go hang out, and then she stops by the island to meet with the lady that, you know, they know. I can't remember her name right now. It starts with an R, I thought.
Yeah, and Casey used to just sit in the back of the room. I remember that.
And interacts with her very briefly, and then something happens, but we don't know what it is. That's when her memory ends. I think that's whenever a hero pulls her out of the pool.
Oh.
And that's when she regains her color.
Oh, dude, she's... Oh, my God. She's patient zero for new cancer, and...
New cancer makes you a superhuman.
Well, I was thinking the new cancer was going to slowly get all throughout, like... this world, and it was going to kill all the people, like it was a government plot, like what they've
well, she was supposed to die within a year, and it's now been 3 years as well,
just like,
so she's
some
beaten
other
it somehow, or it just wasn't, it didn't go the way that they expected for whatever reason. So something happened. There's a weird, in that last memory that she has when she's in the pool before Hero rips her out of the pool, because she's apparently was down there for 3 minutes or something like that. She remembers interacting with Serena or whoever it was, the name of the person on the island. I can't remember her name. And then that person takes her somewhere on their island, and she sees like a giant concrete wall or something like that is described. And then that's where she wakes up or gets pulled out of the pool and pulled out of, you know, those, that, you know, flood of memories that she's having. So there's, that's like the tip of whatever the reveal is going to be, I think.
She was on the run because they infected her with new cancer, and she was supposed to infect everyone else with new cancer because it attacks you and it will transmit digitally. But she never plugged in, so it was going to be a while until it infected everybody. But then she never plugged in because she knew that that was what it was fleeing, runs into the island people. They take off the tracking device from her boat and stuff, and then she goes on to the next island.
I don't think she could have possibly figured all that out.
She's a super genius, just like her sister.
I don't think that she would be. I don't think that she's the character that becomes, you know, savvy to the government conspiracy.
Boy, are you going to eat your words when...
I very well could. Like I said, she's definitely, she's savvy enough to be able to have put back that, to put that robot back together, though, you know, I think we are meant to believe that it was mostly together. She just recognized that, okay, it's just these couple of things that are also right here.
I think she was being modest. I think she made it out of scrap parts.
I don't think she's the revolutionary hero character.
She's
I
like Tony Stark.
It is purely that she got new cancer and was like, well, I want to live, because that's what she's been doing this whole time, is just living. And something else happens, because she gets thrown back onto the same island whenever she goes out in Hubert. She's out on Hubert for like 3 weeks or something like that.
I thought it was just a week.
Maybe it is just a week, but it's still a long time.
Long enough to where it doesn't make sense that she would land back on the same island.
Yeah. The likelihood of that. I mean, is it literally possible? Yes. Is it statistically possible? I find that really hard to believe. It would depend on so many things, like, you know, where's the next nearest island? What are the currents of the ocean in that area?
Also, I think she passed out on her boat and, like, doesn't remember how she got back to her island. It's like she died in a save game.
It was a storm that blew up the boat, and she remembers the boat being blown up. Or, like, torn in two, effectively.
The government,
and that's when she passes out.
It's all the government.
In the storm.
Well, little did you know, I read the whole book.
Yeah,
<that's>, so now you know. No, I am excited for the rest of the book. Just because,
yeah,
I don't know what else is going to be playing out. Like, is it going to be some big government conspiracy like that?
Or I mean, there's something big happening. Sort of space-time thing, or there is some, you know, level of conspiracy. There's some secret that's being hidden from the people.
And it's going to be self-contained, I think, in this one book, just like Descendant of the Crane. I like how that was just one, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be... I mean, I think that Descendant of the Crane absolutely has room to be more.
Yeah.
It's just an acceptable ending. I don't know that I would call Descendant of the Crane like a contained story, because it so obviously has more that can and kind of needs to be done.
Is that the one with Fasher?
No, that was Warbreaker.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because the Descendant of the Crane is, you know, all about the rights of the, you know, people who do magic in that world. And there was a conspiracy in Hesina's, like, court and all that. And so then her and that boy a prisoner take off to go to another kingdom to try and figure out what's going on over there, kind of.
I thought that was
because they're in exile from her kingdom, and they're trying to, and so there is so much left that can and kind of should be done for Descendant of the Crane whenever we get to it. Given what we know so far about this book, I can't imagine why there would need to be a continuation of this story. Like, I think that this story ends, and unless it turns into a save the world situation, which, you know, is like every, you know, young adult novelist's, like, favorite thing to do, is to just, like, turn it into a save the world situation. But that would be the only reason that this would warrant a second book, is if suddenly the stakes changed. The stakes are only the two of them getting back together.
That we know of.
Well, that's why I just said. Yeah. If the stakes changed.
Well, there's going to be a big conspiracy.
We have half a book still to read.
There's going
to
be a big conspiracy, just like in Descendant of the Crane. Called it. Vasher was not in Descendant.
No, that was Warbreaker.
Man, who was? I thought that guy's name was Vasher.
No, his name was something else. I can't remember. We don't even Japanese get his name for the longest time. Akira. Sato.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He names himself Akira, but I think there's at least a period of time that we're given to believe that might not actually be his real name. He's just giving that to Hesina because he's a prisoner.
Nice, dude. You remembered secrets. All their names. Good job. I need to read that book.
I remember names, book names, except for Hitchhiker's Guide, because most of that is just like consonants next to more consonants. Yeah. Maybe a vowel every fifth consonant. If depending on what this book does, sure, maybe it gets a second book, and I'm not against that necessarily. But the way that it's going so far, I can't imagine there being a second book. And I feel like if this book ended with like an opened up ending enough for there to be like, will there be a second book? I might be kind of mad about it.
I'm hoping it's all wrapped up in this. I don't think there will be another one.
Because the story is not that big. And if it changes into a save the world situation, then I don't think that the book has, being almost halfway through it, page count wise, it doesn't, there's not enough time left to make the stakes bigger than they are, which is just these two sisters getting back together and finding out some kind of truth. I don't know if that changes into a save the world scenario. I'm going to be like, you don't have enough time to do that.
Yeah.
Because neither of these people are terribly important. Like, at least Hesina was the empress of an empire. Like, you know, her stakes are inherently larger because she's the most important person in the empire.
Well, that's why I'm trying to figure out what's the point of this, telling us their story at all. You know,
because it's just a story.
Yeah, but it just feels like there's going to be more to me. Like, there's some big, grandiose sort of thing that I think is going to happen.
I hope not, because there's not enough time to do it right. There hasn't been enough reason to suddenly get to a high-stakes situation.
Yeah, I just feel like for it to be as simple as those two girls getting back together, I feel like that's not going to be enough for me. Like, there's gonna, like the extra layer, whether it's as grandiose as I want it to be or not, like, I hope that it's enough to make it more than just like, okay, they're back. Because, like, if it's just the two of them, like, hugging at the end and their boyfriend's, like, died or something, like, it's like, okay, well, that's lame. The robots blew up.
Well, they have to figure out some sort of truth to get to the point of being able to get back together. So something else is going to happen. It's not literally going to be Celia just on her mattress boat for another, you know, 10 chapters and Casey doing whatever until Celia shows up at the docks one day. Like, it's obviously not going to be that simple. Something big is going to happen, but the point of the story is them getting back together. The point of the story is not how do we save humanity.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the spy of Hero being the big spy. Wonder why he's on the island, double agent.
Yeah, he has to be more important. Like, he has to matter more than we're now done with seeing him.
Yeah, and why does everybody lose their memory on this island? Does that always happen?
Well, that's got to be part of, you know, what we were getting at, you know, why she goes back to the island whenever she gets shipwrecked with Hubert. Why, like, her memories flooding back get cut off at the point where she had just been speaking with the lady on the island, whose name we still can't remember. So there's something about arriving at that island that is not exactly as weird led to believe at this point, which is this, just that she gets washed up on there in a storm when she escapes the city.
It is lost then.
There's something else happening.
She died of super cancer, and the guy that washed up on shore is her. Like, this is all a dream. This is all happening in her mind, and that guy's like walking her to the other side, you know.
Well, and Hubert washed back up on the other island. That's why Casey and Act went down to the island. So
that was one of those, like, unexplainable gifts from God. I'm just kidding. The island of Purgatory is on Earth. You don't like any of my fantasy?
You're just saying things.
I'm saying different plot lines that I want it to be. I honestly don't want any of my plot lines to be true, because mine are all things that I've seen before, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to be like, what other story have I heard? I don't even know what else to talk about for the book. I've really been enjoying it, though. It's an easy read. It's fun. It took a little bit in the beginning just because it was world building, so I needed to get used to how things were
going. Yeah, and you're actually reading this one because there's not an audiobook version of it yet.
I thought I was really going to be dragging
for you.
Yeah, I thought I was really going to be reading slow too, and it just took a little bit to get my, like, rhythm going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the last time that you even read? Have you read something on your own apart from the show? Because I think the last thing that you physically read was, I mean, well over a year ago at this point.
I'm trying to think.
For the show.
It must have been some book that, like, just came out, like a new one. Can't remember. Hmm. It's been fun, though. I like having to make the extra time rather than just, like, trying to consume it while I'm at work. And I don't know, depending on what our next book is, I might just physically read them from now. Well, not from now on, but for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going. I know I say that every time after physically reading, but then I fall behind and then it's like, I'll just listen to the audio.
Right.
It's cool separating. Usually I'm listening to funny stuff during work or, like, music to try to get me pumped back up to, like, keep working hard.
Right, yeah.
And having something, even if it's fun and interesting or scary or serious or whatever, just having something as involved as a story, a full story in, like, 8+ hours at least format.
Yeah.
It's always, I don't know, I don't think I'd ever do it full justice. That's why my favorite books I've listened to like 6 times, you know, because it's just like I keep listening to them because I always miss stuff.
Yeah, it's hard to, there's a lot of times when I'm working, if I'm listening to a podcast, I think, I shouldn't be listening to this right now because I'm not catching anything that anybody's saying.
Yeah.
I am working way more than I am listening.
Yeah.
And so then I switch to music or something like that.
And so having that separation, though, for me at work was actually kind of cool because it's like I can just knock out my podcast if I don't, because I'm so caught up on all my like weekly podcasts and stuff that like I don't have anything some days at work to listen to. So I'm just like, what do I listen to? Do I listen to stuff I've already listened to, re-listen to podcasts? Yeah. That's the stage you're at. So that might be what I start trying to do. Like my scary videos, I'll save those for nighttime, or like reading.
Just reallocate your,
your resources. And then, and then try to do like music and podcast during the workday while I'm cleaning, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to read next.
Yeah, me neither.
I was you brought that up just because of, you know, what you were talking about, and it made me think, I don't know what we're going to read next.
Yeah, we'll have to find something good. Dune's coming out at the end of the year, right? So we still have a ways.
September, I think, is what we said last time we looked at it. Who knows, though?
Yeah, so we got some time on that, and then we'll find a good one. But
yeah, hopefully. Generally speaking, we've been pretty lucky. We've only had like two that we really didn't like.
Yeah, and unfortunately for them, they get referenced regularly.
Yeah. That's what happens when you stand out. You're two of however many. This is project 54, I think, that we've done. So
yeah, sometimes they're just like, all right, too. This one is definitely not that way. It's this one I'm enjoying reading, you know? It's,
yeah,
it's
good. Yeah, there have been books that were just like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. We are enjoying this.
But this one is like
saying words.
Yeah, exactly. This one I'm really happy we're doing it. I'm glad we kept up with her like we were saying we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I've been excited for this one to come out.
Oh, and they name dropped the name of the book in the
yeah,
in
we finally got a titular line.
Yeah.
There
I love
the
that
end.
Part.
Yeah. Everyone loves a titular line.
Yeah, that's the other reason I kept like playing into my fantasy world of like they were meant to find those two people to help carry them on to the next part of their journey from purgatory. And I'm just kidding.
I could potentially be, there was an idea that I had sort of toyed with for a second was what if they are the same person, just in other dimensions, but all the people in the world in Casey's world are like, hey, where's your sister that disappeared? So she's not making that part up.
Yeah, I guess they knew her as well, unless it's just
least
she's only been talking about her sister.
She could have potentially invented that world and has now placed herself in it, like the Matrix. And so the people that are in the world that she created know about her sister because she created the world and made them know about her sister.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be getting that deep. But and so the turn is that the ones that they're meant to find are the boys that, I mean, this sounds worse than I intend for it to sound, or the boys that saved them, you know, that you get your fucking your white male savior. That's not what I mean by that. But like the people that you were meant to find are not the ones that you necessarily expected, where they're both looking for each other. They find out that they are each other and potentially are, you know, the ones that they were meant to find were people outside of what they were looking for. But I don't actually think that that's what's happening. That was just an idea that I had for half a second, a couple of days ago.
I definitely don't imagine Hero being white. I don't know why. They could have said he's straight up white as white as hell, but like
The ethnicities of pretty much all of them are relatively ambiguous. There was one line that Casey had that's, you know, was like, okay, so when the eco cities went up, the only people that moved to the eco cities were ones from the general regions of Earth that were underneath them. So some homogenization has happened. Some lessening of the differences in between cultures has happened. But then at the same time, it hasn't happened so much that people are suddenly indistinguishable, like that one South Park episode that people come out of the portal from the future. So, it is happening, but it's not that serious.
Yeah.
Casey and Celia have their father. His name is David Mizuhara. And so, you know, their last names are Mizuhara, but their mom's name, I can't remember what it was, but it was substantially more, you know, like Caucasian sounding, if I remember correctly. And the image on the front of the book is there, you know, two Asian girls. They get described that way in a couple of points, like her and Casey, her best friend Meridian, they both like her, Meridian's part of Meridian's family is from like mainland China or something like that. They're talking about at one point. And then, so, I mean, that's the extent to which ethnicities are described in the book. Yeah. And it's only but those three characters that anything is really described at all. Nobody else gets described almost at all. It's like we spend more time learning about that one girl's hair color at one point.
Yeah, Hiro has like long hair.
Yeah, it's like longish, but like maybe chin length or something like that.
I like refused to imagine that. Like I was like I just kept imagining just like honestly like a muscular black guy with short hair is what I keep imagining. Which is not what is described at all. It's like if anything, it's more like a Samoan.
Yeah. I think there's some intentional lack of detail.
Yeah, yeah, you get to do whatever
which
you
is
want.
Fine.
Yeah, yeah, they don't need to paint.
It's not important.
It really isn't. You get to do whatever you want. The theater of the mind.
Yeah.
You know?
I had thought about something. Whatever her name is, the girl that Casey runs into at the digital party and then runs into at school the next day. So she came up a second time. So what's her deal? We're going to see her again almost certainly. They wouldn't just have her flit in and out of a scene in a second time for no reason. So we still got to see what's up with her.
So many stones left unturned. Hit me with a metaphor, Will. I'm just kidding. Back and forth metaphor.
Yeah. I don't know if I have anything else that I'm thinking about. I think we've about covered it.
All right. Well, you guys know how to find us. anchor.fm/ears-stamps. That'll have links to our other social media, but we're on Facebook, Instagram. No, we're not on Facebook. We're on Instagram and Twitter.
We're literally on Facebook, but we don't do anything there.
Gotcha.
Sometimes the Instagram stuff forwards to it, but I don't always post on the Instagram because I'm lazy and uninspired when it comes to taking photos. And even less than that, do I tell Instagram to forward it to Facebook. So you won't find much there.
Well, tweet at us. Show us the way you're reading and consuming the book.
At ears_stamps.
Yeah, Instagram and Twitter. And then, you guys know what to read. Just finish the book.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll find something good next week. If you have any suggestions, please let us know. Rate, review, subscribe. Tell your friends, please.
Smash that like button.
Yeah, that's the best way to show support. Is just tell your friends.
Just do things. Yeah, tell your friends. Jordan's right. Yeah, I was making a dumb joke about, you know, smashing buttons and just doing things. But
smashing
tell your
buttons helps.
Allegedly. That's what all the people who actually do this for a living say, that hitting buttons does things.
Well, it's a good strategy in the arcade sometimes.
Yeah. That's how I get through most video games is hitting buttons.
So get through this podcast by smashing the buttons, button mash your way through the podcast.
Yeah, just hitting skip 30 seconds over and over and over
again. Skip. That would be the worst way to digest this. It sounded so cool.
Five-second bites that are 30 seconds apart.
Yeah, they're just like, what were they talking about?
No idea.
And then they just hear us laughing like, wah, wah, wah.
But yeah, tell your friends.
Yes.
That is the most important thing that you can do in regards to helping this show, if that's something that you care about. We hope it is.
Yeah.
That's it, right?
That's all I got.
All right. I'm Will Hedrick.
I'm Jordan Schaffer.
The Doggers and Timestamps.